gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour. You know why?
Why?
Because all the right people are mad. A T and then a he. And all the right people are happy.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bob Seska on The Big Show. Tom Hartman. It is a fabulous big post-shutdown
Tom
show.
Tom Hartman?
Oh.
I haven't talked to him in ages.
Or by the way, if you're watching Fox News, both sides didn't get what they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know they're going to do the same thing in 3 months.
And I was watching Brett Baer, special report with Brett Baer yesterday, and you know that's their marquee newscast where they do the straight news. They spend about 5 minutes on the huge news story yesterday. Then
nothing more to
things.
See here. Nothing more to see here. Yeah, both sides that screwed this up. Both. Not really. All right. Yeah. What an epic fail it is. I mean, you can, and the right, you know when the right goes insane. They know it was an epic, it was huge, it was humiliating defeat. It was, sorry, and I hit that one again. All right. By the way.
I guess no one's going to Disneyland.
No, I guess not. Nicely done,
Boner.
You
know where Boner's going to be.
Yes, this is how I know it's good news. Let's see. This is the right's angry response to the House GOP collapse.
Uh-huh.
Capitulation. Humiliating defeat. Pick a term. There are a few things the right hates more than Obamacare, but losing is one of them, and losing in an epic struggle over Obamacare is worst of all. Eric Erickson wrote, Tea Party mood rapidly shifting, giving up on Congress, gearing up for bloody primary season. Yes! Fight, fight, fight! That's their answer.
Yeah,
they're conservative enough. They need to get crazier, teabaggers. Yes!
Well, with the Tea Party, they mean literally bloody.
Right.
So,
right. And you know me and Obama naysayers on the left. Daily Coast writing, Stephanie, please add your name to our petition thanking President Obama for his unflinching leadership in averting a national crisis and defeating the Tea Party. Click here to sign. Credit for the victory belongs entirely to President Barack Obama. 2 years ago, he vowed to never again negotiate with Republicans over the debt limit, and his refusal to negotiate is why we emerged victorious today. Why, thank you, Daily Coast. I will click here. Thank you, President Obama. All right. Hey, look who's here right out of the box.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. He is inviting and exciting. Hello, good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. I mean, didn't you just know it was going to be a good night when the Senate voted, 81 to crazy to reopen the government?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, we have the list of shame later who voted for default. I mean, we really are at the trading places time. Someone's going to... I think John McCain was choking him on the Senate floor last night, wasn't he?
Well,
saying, it was the Dukes! It was the Dukes! It was the Koch brothers! Stop it!
I mean, there's just so much fun here. Finally the government's back open. Furloughed workers are back to work. There was that crazy stenographer yelling about God that was yanked off the House floor late last night. I actually believe it was just Michelle Bachmann in a Scooby-Doo outfit.
And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for you meddling kids.
But
that's what she
said.
All,
yeah.
they got absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Yeah, exactly what we've been saying.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Yeah.
They did get one thing.
Yes, go ahead.
They did get one thing.
What's that?
They got a change to Obamacare that Democrats actually wanted.
Right, right.
So, they wanted better certification of income for the folks that are going to get help buying health care.
Right.
And that's going to be in there. So, technically, they did get a change to Obamacare that the Democrats wanted.
Ouch, that hurt. But that's exactly the way this is what always happens when it's disastrous news for Republicans. Fox either just doesn't report it, or they're just, both sides didn't really get what they want. What? Yes, we did. Right?
So now do we get treated to another round of GOP 2.0 and 3.0 stories and about how Eric Cantor is going to change the face of the Republican Party?
Are they going to do another postmortem?
Right, I mean.
Of the postmortem?
Yeah.
At this point, all they've learned is to fight dumber.
Right.
I mean, they didn't learn to fight smarter. It's just fight dumber.
Right. That's what you tweeted that. What lesson have they learned from the GOP shutdown? Fight harder. In other words, don't fight smarter, fight dumber.
Yeah.
And that's what they're that literally what I just said, Eric Erickson. They're saying, oh, they aren't far right enough. So I'm like, really? You can find teabaggers more crazy than the current crop?
But well, those crazy numbskulls like Eric Erickson and folks of his ilk, they only stand to benefit from, you know, the problems within their own party because they make money off of consternation in their party. It's the same reason that Rush Limbaugh and all those other wackadoos are going to be pushing the party even more to the right.
Yeah.
Because they only stand to do better because then they get to fight not only the president, you know, that Kenyan Muslim guy, but they also get to fight their own ranks.
You know, when your party has been reduced for searching for someone dumber than Louis Gohmert, Carl, it is really kind of a sad day.
Well, I mean, think about it for a second. Who would primary somebody like Louis Gohmert? Like...
And Eric Cantor always looks like he's smelling poo, so I don't want him to be the face of anything.
Right? Yes, the bitch face.
Well, you know, one of the fascinating stories, I think it was David Korn that wrote about it in Mother Jones, was that a couple weeks ago, apparently Democrats sent word to John Boehner that, hey, man, if you can't keep your stuff together and your caucus just goes crazy, we might be willing to help you keep the speakership if you agree to keep the government open and raise the debt ceiling.
Mm.
That must have been a fun letter for John Boehner to receive. I'm sure he cried all over it.
Yeah, he's still crying over his reviews for this whole thing. I mean, and meanwhile, I'm reading a headline, S&P says the shutdown took $24 billion out of the U.S. economy. I mean, and you watch like clockwork, they're going to go, oh, look at this Obama economy. Look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we're already spending very little money compared to where we should be. And anytime we do something that hurts the economy, as tenuous as the recovery has been, it's a bad thing. But Republicans don't care about it. I mean, let's look at why they're doing this. Every couple months we're doing this, and we're going to see this again in January 15th and in the first week of February. They're doing this so that the president doesn't get to accomplish anything else. So they don't care about fixing the economy. They're just waiting to try and fix the economy on their watch. They cannot risk in their heads. They cannot risk letting this president be the guy that fixed things.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm the happy clappy type political strategist, Karl Rove. Let's look at the head. Oh, sorry, Frisch.
Wow.
Did Carl I just call
Rove?
You Karl Rove?
Yes.
I am so sorry.
Wow.
Well, he is a former Republican.
Talk about a
wow,
Freudian
that
slip.
That was wow. horrible.
I was
apologize.
Like, what does Karl Rove have to say about this, Stephanie?
By the way, Carl, love that picture you tweeted of you at the San Diego Republican Convention in 1996.
Thank you.
Wow.
Who knew they gave out credentials to such twinks?
Anyway, we've heard this over and over again, right, Carl, about the gerrymandering. Bloomberg says Tea Party House seats might not be all that safe. Wouldn't that be just the final irony?
Well,
of this?
And that's the crazy thing, right? So, like, if Republicans have built in this institutional advantage when it comes to the House, they should have a majority for 10 to 20 years. And, if they play their cards right, which means just being rational conservatives. They can be conservative. They cannot want to work with the president, but they can't be crazy about it. What they've basically done is they've expedited the ability for Democrats to overcome that institutional advantage. You know, eventually it was going to happen regardless of what they do. Because of demographic changes, et cetera. It was just going to take a long time. But they're doing everything in their power to make it more easy for Democrats to conquer them. I mean, if you think about it, one of the reasons that the Democrats have managed to hold on to the Senate despite tough election seasons is because the Republicans keep on throwing out pragmatic conservative Republicans in favor of, crazy people.
Favorite moment lately. Did you see that? Hannity had Ann Coulter on, and she turned on Liz Cheney, among others. She said, why should we be, primarying a good Republican like Mike Enzi for Liz Cheney's ego? And you could tell Hannity was totally thrown because he's a big Liz Cheney fan.
Yeah. Oh, but, they're all Liz Cheney fans. I mean, everybody's a Liz Cheney fan except for most of America.
Yes. Yeah.
I think if the Republicans were smart, they'd throw the entire Tea Party into Boston Harbor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is their choice, right? Do they hurt now or do they hurt later? Yeah. If they want to have a future as a party and not go down as the Whigs that were ruined by the know-nothings, only this time to be the know-nothing, do-nothings, if they want to avoid that future, then they throw the Tea Party out, let them be relegated to third-party status, and they slowly put the pieces back together. But they don't win any elections for the time being.
But Carl, I want to get your take.
They're not going to do that.
This is a Princeton professor. I don't know if that's one of the major or minors. I forget. But he's found the gerrymandered districts may actually be less safe than those that aren't politically altered. He looked at this PPP polling, and he found Republicans lost twice as much support over the shutdown in their gerrymandered districts than in red districts with boundaries that weren't politically redrawn. He points out, he says, the rest of the GOP's districts are largely filled with independents who tend to amplify the national mood. When they swing really hard against you. So he extrapolates the disproportionate reaction to the shutdown puts dozens more seats in play in the 2014. Do you think that's possible?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, with some of them. But, you know, a lot of these seats really are 60% Republican seats. So, yes. Some of those seats could be vulnerable if you have a particularly crazy or awful person in them. If let's say that we were to win Louis Gohmert's seat, I don't think anybody with a rational head on their shoulders would think that we'd hold on to it for more than 2 years before the next election.
Mm-hmm.
Those things tend to happen. When there's a big wave election, I think most people would look at things today and say, Democrats have a really good shot at picking up seats in 2014 when historically they should not. They're going to win the governorship in Virginia when historically they should not in 2013. And, in 2016 with Hillary on the ballot when she runs against Barry Goldwater.
Ted Cruz.
And wins 40 states, including Texas.
See, she had to choose me as her vice presidential candidate just for the irony.
Awesome.
Just for the
that
irony.
That would be awesome. But, the other great news out of last night is that Cory Booker won the special election in
mm-hmm.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I was shocked because Sarah Palin held a rally there against him.
Yeah.
And, she's got such a strong track record. I was like, wait.
Did you see that was my favorite piece of audio this week? Is her at that, her photo op for the veterans and someone called her an idiot? I thought America's finally come to its senses.
They have indeed.
And by the way, I loved you retreated Bill Maher, a Republican Thanksgiving. They go around the table and say what they're hateful for.
We're absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's like having all drunk uncles and one sane person.
You know what else?
Exactly.
Not another thing.
It's a table full of John Boehner.
Mom, why is the turkey stuffed with tequila?
Yes, I think you're right. A little more drinking than usual around
here. Tequila.
We're going to have turkeys made entirely of tequila. All right. Carl Frisch, great stuff. Thank you for engaging in the Schadenfreude. Did I say that right?
Schadenfreude.
I think you did. But now, of course, Newsbusters is going to say that you're, speaking the original German.
Yes,
yeah. Yes,
of course. There you go. All right, Carl
Frisch,
good
week.
Have a
good one.
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. We're finding our Sarah Palin audio again just because it makes me happy. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Don't you?
That's Mick Jagger in the background singing with and about.
Fabulous. 25 minutes
people
after the
with
hour.
Large lips.
1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The president yesterday.
Oh.
Oh, you don't. Okay. Let's go back to our Sarah Palin audio then. Here it is.
Our pet. Our.
You're an idiot.
Awesome. That guy, future husband. Okay. Let's go to Bob in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? Go ahead.
Hey, I'm doing well, thanks. I had a couple of things that I wanted to ask you. The first is, after Bloomberg leaves office, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the effect of the national stage he might play in terms of funding elections and potentially changing the dialogue that currently exists. He seems to want to stay involved and maybe expand, you know, his role in a I had another question, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on that first.
Well, I mean, you know, he certainly put a lot of money into gun control issues and, you know, around the country. So I don't know. You know, we'll have to see if it may. I mean, the interesting thing is, of course, in New York, he's a Republican, but there's a word for that in the rest of the country. That would be Democrat.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my thought there is, you know, he seems to be pretty fiscally responsible as well as, you know, having a pretty high degree of tolerance or liberal point of view towards social issues, which I think is where most of Americans are today. And that I think there's a receptive audience to that. If you look at the Tea Party, you know, kind of wing of the Republican Party, it's so narrow. I guess, you know, nationally, it only amounts to about 15% or 18% of
Right. Well, I mean, if you even look at gun issues, clearly the vast majority of Americans agree with him, you know, and wanted the background check bill passed and stuff like that. But, you know, in the ads they were running against that, of course, you know, the implication was, are you going to listen to some big city Jew tell you about your guns? That was the implication,
yeah.
Wasn't it, Bob?
I think you're right, but if you're funding somebody locally and, you know, you try to shape dialogue a little bit differently and you've got the money to do that, I'm just wondering if that's the effect. If Bloomberg is kind of in the shadows, you know, so to speak, meaning his name isn't front and center, but he's funding people that I think where most Americans are is they agree with Republicans in the sense that, you know, spending has to be curtailed, but they also feel like, you know, a lot of what the Republicans have promoted, whether it be trickle-down economics and other things like that, are just simply not fair.
I'm not sure they
I'm
actually.
I'm just wondering if you can change it.
Well, I'm not sure they actually agree with Republicans on much of anything. I mean, when you say spending needs to be curtailed, I mean, I think that the things Democrats want to spend on, generally people are behind, and the things Republicans want to cut, people are generally not behind. So the president yesterday...
I'm willing to work with anybody. I am eager to work with anybody, Democrat or Republican, House or Senate members, on any idea that will grow our economy, create new jobs, strengthen the middle class, and get our fiscal house in order.
By the way, what do you call it? Michael Bloomberg, a little too, you know, nanny state liberal for us.
A little bit. Yeah, that large drink thing, come on. Stop it.
Oh, it's pointless if you have free refills. So
there you go.
Symbolic.
Oh,
it's just nanny state.
Chris in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Just two questions. One, how do y'all propose we pay for our unfunded liabilities, such as Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security?
That's weird. We had a caller that used that exact phrase yesterday.
Wow. They are funded. Must be psychic.
And my second question is...
Skipping to my next talking point. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Unfunded liabilities. Oh, that's the... Wow. That's how they refer to the social safety nets?
Yeah.
All right. You know, redo those talking points before you send another caller.
We pay into it, so it is funded.
Yeah.
So there you go.
29 God. Minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Super hot lady who my wife keeps telling me why you're famous, but I keep forgetting.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Let's go to David in Atlanta. Hi, David.
Good morning, Stephanie and Mooks.
Good morning.
Well, watching this thing that's happened over the last 16 days, it's like an old analogy where these people take over an airplane, and then after they've taken it over, they realize they don't know how to fly.
Right. Right.
And And it just boggles the mind that this has gone on for 16 days, and there probably will be no price to pay for them.
Well, that's not what the polling is showing, that there'll be no price to pay. Jay Carney yesterday, the president's press secretary. Jay Carney.
There are no winners here. We said that from the beginning, and we're going to say it right up to the end because it's true.
Although, Tom writes, Steph, did you see as the president left the briefing room after remarks following the Senate vote, I love that he turned and answered a question about whether this would happen again. No, he said. Yeah. Jay Carney smiled as they left together.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think he's right. He killed this tactic. The power of no. Thank you, Tom.
We'll see if it's dead, if their tactic is dead.
I think they're going
to we'll have to see what happens now. Won't that be fun? And that's what we were talking about, the hurt this has already done to the economy.
The world market is not going to stand for this.
But they're saying going into the, Christmas selling season, people are still going to be nervous about what's going to happen now in January. So, the Republicans will be happy if that can further damage the economy so they can go, look what the black guy did now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jason in Michigan. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
So I told your call screener, I generally lean sort of libertarian in my views, but the one thing I didn't understand about this whole budget impasse is it seems like we could cut easily $1 trillion out of the budget, and 90% of Americans would applaud it. If we cut back on our military, if we cut back on our domestic spying, and if we cut back on international aid. And the other thing that perplexes me, and no one has brought this up, is why are we paying interest on our debt? Why can't we just cut the head right off the Federal Reserve, print our own money like the Constitution says, and borrow it interest-free? I just don't get it. That's probably $2 trillion out of the budget we could cut right there, and we don't even have to worry about Obamacare.
Okay, well, I guess we have to take those one at a time. You mean get rid of the Fed, like Ron Paul's talking about?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, why are we borrowing
money? The Fed is a good hedge against inflation and hyperinflation.
I don't – that point I don't get, but, I mean – we're paying, $1 trillion a year in interest? We could print our own money like the Constitution says. We mint our own coin. We don't pay the expense of interest. We save at least $1 trillion right there.
Well, I mean, I think, I think that's the problem. A lot of libertarian stuff sounds great, but
on paper, but then when you apply it to the real world, it just completely falls apart because
I'll give you that. I'll give you that, but the other three, international aid, the military, and domestic spying. I mean, most Americans would say, what are we doing? Why are we in all these foreign countries? Why are we meddling?
Well, but I think most Americans also don't want to be killed by terrorists, so it's easy, again, to indiscriminately say, oh, let's just cut out domestic spying because people don't like it.
You've got a better chance of getting killed by a honeybee or getting stung by a bee.
Really? So you want to just cut out the NSA entirely?
Completely. There's no need for it.
Okay. And that's crazy.
See, that's what happens. You go down the road with a libertarian, and you're like, okay, that's a little... Although I could tell he had Jim on board.
Well, I'm just saying that we're creating more terrorism with, as was mentioned
by... He's not talking about getting rid of the NSA, which is, a little cuckoo banana.
There are some terrorist plans going on here in America. We need to keep an eye on that.
Sure.
So getting rid of the NSA would be incredibly dangerous for America to do.
Would you like to hear, could I have some Walk of Shame music? Would you like to know the 16 senators that voted for default, that voted for financial Armageddon, worldwide catastrophe? Cornyn. I'm going to say all these like Newman.
Okay.
Crapo. Which you can't say without saying.
I think it's Crapo, but
oh, really?
I like it better with Crapo.
It's Crapo. I like Crapo better.
Lou from Crapo.
Cruise.
Wondercraft.
Slowly I turned. Enzy. See, because he's getting teabagged by Liz Cheney, which is... Grassley, which you can't say Grassley without
S.
Heller. Johnson from Wisconsin. Lee from Utah. Paul. Libertarian. Reich, I don't know who that is. No, Rish? Rish. Sorry. Roberts. Rubio.
Rubio.
Sessions, the tiny elfin senator from Alabama.
I'm just going to be back in my tree making cookies.
Shelby, Toomey, and Vitter. Diaper boy! Diaper boy!
Vitter sounds like Vittles.
I don't know. Vitter? I just met her.
Hey!
He doesn't seem to mind about that.
No, he doesn't seem to mind the vittering at all.
Diapers are an icebreaker for him. Alicia in Minneapolis. Hello, Alicia.
Dr. Hartman, I would like to talk about our unfunded liabilities.
No, you would not. You're just making that up.
I do have a solution to some of our liabilities that really are a concern. I do think that we need to lift...
You mean like Ted Cruz?
Yeah. I think we need to lift this ancient $111,000 cap on Social Security. A lot of Americans don't realize that nothing over $111,000 has a Social Security income tax. And I just think every earned dollar should go to society security. There's many people who make a ton of money and then end up losing it all and end up on Social Security.
Yeah, well, I mean...
You know...
Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
So I just think that would really help. And the other thing that really bothers me with Social Security is I think that we give out the disability portion too much. I know people whose kids have, you know, certain psychological things. They get Social Security, and they're not really using it for anything that goes towards their help. And so I think that we need to cut back on that. I know it might sound a little bit cold, but, I mean, it's a known fact that once you apply three times, you're going to get Social Security, and it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a lot of things we can talk about, but as the president said, not with a gun to our head and not under this threat of, you know, government shutdown or default. There's a lot of, you know, that's the thing. They weren't interested in any of that. Mm-hmm. John McCain, by the way, on the Senate floor yesterday.
I think it's obvious that we are now seeing the end of this agonizing odyssey that this body has been put through, but far more importantly, the American people have been put through. It's one of the more shameful chapters that I have seen in the years that I've spent here in the Senate.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
Let's go to Cindy in Michigan. Hi, Cindy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Cindy, hi. I wanted to say something about what's happening right now with the Republicans. They lost this argument, this phase. They're pivoting right to Obamacare is a disaster because of the computer situation. This proves it. Look at this. And so what I would say to that is the states that cooperated and set up their own systems, it's running pretty well from what we're hearing.
Yeah.
It's the states like the Republicans, you know, led states that would not get on board as their kind of protest.
Sandy, look at what Mitch McConnell
did, the federal system.
Right. Mitch McConnell, after all this, even though he looked like a whipped dog, he's said, our point remains to repealing Obamacare. It's like, oh, my God, really? You know, I mean, they're still, you know, I mean, either way, you know, whether they're just trying to look like they won something, I have no idea. But I just buried my head in my hands, didn't you?
Well, the other thing too is that people had to sign up before they could sort of peruse the you know, and view all of these plans. That was part of the negotiations that happened in those committees when they wrote it,
right,
with the Republicans, because they wanted more verification. They wanted to make sure if those people are going to get in it, then they have to get in it from the beginning. And they thought that would turn people off.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of put poison pills in this, and now they're going to try to make that an argument. And as far as those unfunded liabilities, I think that's so funny. Social Security, lift the cap.
Exactly.
And number two, Medicare Part D, we must be able to negotiate the pharmaceuticals the way the veterans do.
Right.
It costs us tons of money. That would save both plans right there.
Yep.
So
yep.
I don't know.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, did you see McConnell? Almost nothing he said was true. I understand they're just trying to save face or something, but he was like, our goal remains to repeal Obamacare and save the nation from this horrible law in which millions of people are losing their insurance and their jobs. What?
That none of what you said is true.
Yeah. He's pulled that directly out of his turtle ass.
Yes, which is difficult to
do. You have to lift the little tail.
Right.
In order,
it helps if you have opposable thumbs. But
yeah. Oh, God. Mitch McLipless yesterday.
We're protecting the government spending reductions that both parties agreed to under the Budget Control Act and that the president signed into law. That's been a top priority for me and for my colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle throughout this debate.
Okay, so he's talking about the sequester that he and every other Republican are on record as saying are horrible and should never happen.
Yes.
So now that's what now that's what you're fighting for.
Now a warning?
Now That's because they lost everything else. This is him. It was so pathetic. I'm trying to make this seem like this was some sort of win for them. When everybody knows it was humiliating. They caved on everything. It was just a thing of beauty. the boner. The boner yesterday. John Boner. John Boner.
We've been locked in a fight over here trying to bring government down to size, trying to do our best to stop Obamacare, and we fought the good fight. We just didn't win.
He was literally phoning it in, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he called into his hometown radio station.
Oh, I see.
It sounded like it was a 1942 microphone.
Was he not ship-shaped for TV? What was happening?
I don't know. A
little blotchy, maybe?
Yeah, actually, Bob
Sesko.
A little
cauliflower nose that was starting.
Oh, interesting, on the phone. Okay.
I was going to stay here because I don't want anyone to see me.
By the way, Bob Seska writes, this is total bull because the deficit is dropping. He actually said the president's record on the deficit is fairly stellar.
Yeah.
So it's like it's just the same stuff over and over again. Mm-hmm. You're fighting to try to bring down the deficit. It's come down at record levels under President Obama.
Without your help.
Yes. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Here's a fun fact from Bob Sesko, who we'll talk to in hour number three, Jim. Who was the last Republican president to cut the deficit?
Nixon?
No.
Nixon?
No. Eisenhower.
Wow.
You can name two Democratic presidents, President Obama and President Clinton. Republican president? No. Bueller? Got to go quite a ways back.
Bueller.
And now, a story about a bear. It's the only reason you send me these, right?
Of course, because I love hearing you say that.
Now I don't even need to do the story.
I know.
Just wanted to say.
All right.
Bear locks itself inside an SUV.
No, Mr. Bear.
Oh, silly bear.
There's no picnic basket in there.
He's just listening to Sirius XM.
Yes. Progress 127.
Right.
Stephanie Miller's on. Truckee. Oh, in Truckee, California.
Uh-huh.
I like saying Truckee.
I've been there.
Right. It's nice. Truckee
George
police.
Bush is a Truckee.
Well, it's the gateway to Lake Tahoe.
Oh, well, in that case. They said they had to break the window out of a SUV over the weekend after a bear locked himself inside. Perhaps there was a picnic
basket.
There was a picnic biscuit in there.
Smarter than the average bear.
The bears in Yosemite have learned how to remove the weather stripping and just take the whole window out of the car.
They are clever bears, Jim.
You know,
I dare say they're smarter than the average bear.
Right? Police say this was the third time in the past 2 weeks that a bear's been stuck in a vehicle.
I'm stuck in a vehicle.
In Truckee.
Yogi, why are you in the truck in Truckee?
The first time September 30th, bear was stuck in a car near a school. In the second incident, the car owner let the bear out. That's a little startling.
I bet the bear was texting while he was driving.
That's your bugaboo.
Stupid bear. No texting.
Well, I saw the aftermath of a huge three-car pileup in my neighborhood. The Lexus totaled, and I bet somebody was texting while going through the intersection.
Oh, that's his bugaboo. He just always suspects
something
no matter what.
I know.
Okay, let's go to...
Don't pretend it's not a problem.
Matt in Tampa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Matt.
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry I lost my notes on the talking points, but I just have one very simple question.
Oh, dear.
So, yes. I was wondering that the House has gone through, 40-some-odd, 50, to, who knows how many times you voted for the defund Obamacare.
43, I think, yeah.
43. So when do we expect 44? I mean, that's kind of my question.
Oh, I'm sure it's coming. They need to have something, I guess. I mean, Mitch McConnell said it yesterday. It remains our priority to repeal Obamacare.
Repeal Obamacare.
Oh, God. I mean, really. Representative Peter King says that Boehner knew the shutdown strategy was doomed, but could not fight the House GOP. Poor orange little feller.
Wow.
Peter King told Fox News the House GOP leaders had known the strategy was doomed, but had been unable to fight the caucus committed to defunding it. I thought it was a misguided fight from the start, King said. John Boehner and Eric Cantor both told us early in September this was doomed to failure, but they had no choice because we had 35 or 40 Republicans.
Yeah.
Who insisted we follow this path, led by Ted Cruz, which is the most ridiculous. Over the last 10 days, Obamacare has become more popular, he said, which is ridiculous in view of the terrible startup they've had. Whatever. Yeah, it's true in the polling. Obamacare has only gotten more popular since this whole shutdown thing. Tarhead! Mm-hmm. Stop and wipe my eyes. Okay.
They're terrified that it's going to work and be a...
He said of Ted Cruz, he was the one that was the architect of this. He said if the House defunded Obamacare and shut down the government, then when it got to the Senate, he would take care of it. He was behind the 30 or 40 supporters in the House. He's the one who assumed responsibility, and he's responsible also for the failure. I guess
Send Cruz back to Cubenadia?
Right, where he can be the president of Cubenadia.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, by the way, just when you think people could not hate Ted Cruz more, Ted Cruz admits budget stand-up was all about building fundraising lists.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He conceded Wednesday he would not hold up a vote yesterday on the Senate deal, and admitted that the three-week-long budget standoff, which began with his little green eggs and ham 21-hour, was nothing more than an effort to build up his fundraising list. He said, my focus is, I think, where the American people's focus is what we are doing to provide real relief to the people who are hurting because of
blah,
Obamacare.
Blah, 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 blah. Lying sack
of crap. That's a load of crap.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty. He said months ago, when the effort to defund Obamacare began, official Washington scoffed. Yes. And they were correct.
Computer said yes.
They scoffed that the American people would rise up, yes. They scoffed that the House of Representatives would do anything, and they scoffed that the Senate would do anything. Yes.
Yes. And we were right.
We saw, first of all, millions of American people rising up across the country.
Come on.
King says no.
Did not.
Over 2 million people signing a national petition to defund Obamacare. Meaning his little fundraising list. So, yes, he found some dopes. Yes, he did. Popular support for the health care law has actually increased since the shutdown began on September 30th. In the last quarter, Cruz's PAC, though, raised $797,000. I hope you feel good about yourselves, the dopes that gave hard-earned money to Ted Cruz. Nearly twice what it pulled in the quarter, and Heritage Action collected $330,000. Economists predict, meanwhile, the country lost thousands of jobs, billions in economic output, diminished consumer confidence in the prospect of a lower credit rating. Thank you, Ted Cruz.
How many millions of dollars?
Can I give you any of my money?
Flush down the toilet for this little tantrum.
Yeah, exactly. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
Perhaps most importantly, this legislation ends a standoff to ground the work of Washington to a halt this fall. This is not a time for pointing fingers of blame. This is a time of reconciliation.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
You go ahead and reconcile. We'll be over here pointing.
Doink,
we are
doink,
we are pointy people.
Doink.
Yes, we are. Oh, Jim, you asked, what is has been the harm? S&P says the shutdown took $24 billion out of the
$24 billion.
U.S. economy and cut 0.6% off the yearly fourth quarter GDP growth.
Yeah, but Ted Cruz made thousands of dollars.
S&P said
that makes
it
okay.
Right, if people are afraid the government policy brinkmanship will resurface again and with the risk of another shutdown or worse, they'll remain afraid to open up their checkbooks. That points to another humbug holiday season. Thanks again, Ted Cruz. Thanks for
Why
everything.
Why do you hate Christmas?
Yeah, Ted Cruz killed Christmas. Write a book about that, Bill O'Reilly. Ted Cruz making baby Jesus cry.
Killing the Baby Jesus by Bill O'Reilly.
By Ted Cruz. Thank you. All right, let's go to...
And all I'm sticking up for is the baby Jesus.
Oh, we have to... Yes, exactly. Somebody's got to do it. Ted Cruz has killed the baby Jesus, Bill. Get on it. All right, it's been almost a week since he's written a book, isn't it?
Yeah,
come on.
Pretty much.
No.
Or someone has written a book for
him.
Yeah,
exactly. On spurious facts.
Tom Hartman and much more coming up right now.
Tom Hartman!
What? On the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. You can email us all at stephaniemiller.com. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Like Tom did. Steph, whenever my sexy dad is listening to your show, he screams, "Stephanie Miller's so awesome," over and over again. Oh, Dad. Sometimes Dad gets so excited when listening to your show, he runs to his car, starts driving, purposely crashes his car into oncoming vehicles to express his excitement. After he crashes his car, he gets out and runs to the person he hit and yells, "Stephanie Miller, yes!"
Sounds like a big hyperbole.
Your dad sounds awesome. I'm like a sexy liberal dad. Speaking of which, John Fugelsang joins us tomorrow for Fridays with Fugelsang. And tomorrow, finally, the big West Coast sexy liberal announcement. Wow. Yeah.
Sexy liberal.
Yeah.
Can you teach me how to sex?
Right.
I'm kind of rough and my hair kind of messy. My pants are cuffed and my shirt kind of scruffy. I need help, mama. Please, you told me that you love me.
Yes.
She said, yo, you a sexy liberal. She gave me 2 tickets front row to the show. Said, I love how you do your thing with John Fugelsang. How sparks get more booty than booty tang.
That's
ooh,
right.
We man, got a thing for Aisha. Pay a little extra just to meet ya and greet ya.
That's right.
Stephanie Miller, man, if looks could kill a man, that'd be a bunch of dead black men and some lesbians. What?
What?
I said it. No, I don't regret it. The sexy liberal show, that's where I'm headed.
Yay! Hey, all right. Before we kick off our full 2014 election year schedule, this will be the last 2013 show. Very, very, very exciting. And also, could it come at a better time for mocking Republicans? I don't think so. another story. People are losing it. Diaper-wearing man accused of flashing. David Vitter, just because you lost,
oh.
Stop it. Oh, for God's sakes. Have some senatorial dignity, won't you?
On the floor of the Senate, no less.
Attorneys for a 31-year-old Utah man. I apologize. It was Mike Lee. Mike Lee,
but when
stop
you hear about,
it. You lost.
But when you hear about a diaper,
you automatically think.
David Vitter.
A Utah man, Mike Lee, convicted, I don't know if it is, convicted of lewdness for flashing diapers he was wearing in front of children. He
could have been worse.
He was convicted in an incident early this year where he exposed his diaper to 2 girls while sucking on a candy pacifier and throwing flyers. Mike Lee, come on!
All right, everyone needs a hobby.
You can tell everybody has shut down and debt default fatigue. Did you see the House stenographer lost her yesterday on the House floor? Do we have that?
Yeah.
He will not be mocked. He will not be mocked.
Don't touch me.
He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No. It would not have been. Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh boy. Okay.
God.
Well, listen, if you had to write down every word Louis Gohmert said, you'd be losing your shizzle about now, too. Kenny Pick in Cleveland on this very subject. Hi, Kenny.
Yeah, how about that? A friend of mine on Facebook said that she probably just stared at Michelle Bachmann too long.
She stared into the crazy eyes. No!
I feel bad for her, though.
Yeah,
I mean, she's obviously under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, God, you know, who wouldn't be, if especially, in that situation. But, yeah, I figured I'd send that to you guys.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's getting paid.
Federal employee. Maybe.
Yeah.
There's that, too. Well, they did. The Capitol Police, I guess they sent her to a hospital for mental health evaluation after that. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
well,
it's sad.
Well, think about having to write down what Louis Gohmert says. Excuse me, how do you spell herp derp again?
That would just at least hurt your feelings, if not make you insane.
Yeah, exactly. So. Thank you, Kenny. Louis Gohmert, did he speak yesterday? So she presumably had to write this down then?
Probably, before she went nuts.
If Congress just gave a president everything he wanted, all the money he wanted, without any use of their own delegated duties, then basically we move right back to a monarchy.
Monarchy. That's right. He thinks he's a king or something.
No.
Yes, it was.
That's not going to happen.
Duly passed law. Right. It was upheld by the Supreme Court.
And yeah.
I just love how this whole thing is that they think they're entitled to somehow go back and pick through the law and change things that they don't like. It was like, what? No,
no,
you don't.
The time to do that was before it was passed.
Why do we have to drive on the right side of the road? Why not the left when I feel like it?
You can tell that the world has been feeling this, you know, debt default, worldwide financial catastrophe fatigue. Why?
Why?
Japan's making wine for cats.
Huh?
See? The world has gone insane. Dogs and cats living together. Cats drunk on wine.
Do cats need wine?
Apparently
my cats are crazy enough without
now
wine.
Now you know what to get your cats for Christmas, you and Jim. You don't own cats together. I didn't mean...
No,
Jim
we don't.
His wife owned cats.
Yes.
You also own cats.
I own cats.
Right. Today in Japan, bottled wine created especially for cats goes on sale. This is apparently not a joke.
Well, maybe the radiation is starting to affect their brains.
It does not have any alcohol in it, sadly.
Oh,
well, then it's not wine. It's grape juice.
Every cat party's got its boobers.
Why are they calling it wine, then?
It contains juice made from Cabernet grapes, vitamin C, as well as catnip.
Oh, well, then there you go.
And it apparently tastes like red wine.
But it's grape juice. If it doesn't have alcohol, it's grape juice.
Shh. How's your cat going to know? Just say, here's a nice bottle of wine. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Jazz will know. He will know.
Be like,
What
is this swill?
He will.
We collided. Someone sent me an e-card. No, I can't go to your cat's birthday party, you freak. My dog's getting married that day. All right. Oh, in our Breaking Bad stack, man donates meth to flood victims. He's trying to help.
Oh.
We enjoy helpers. This is in Bangkok.
Okay.
One night in Bangkok, as you know, Jim, will make a hard man humble.
Or we'll get you some meth.
Or make a humble man hard. I can't remember which. Anyway, my point is, a man who was high on drugs was arrested after attempting to donate methamphetamine tablets to help flood victims at a relief center.
Mm.
Huh.
Some people just don't appreciate a helper.
And
okay.
Cat wine.
And some cat wine. Here's some meth and some cat wine.
That's great juice.
Sorry for your loss. Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Robert.
You know, my whole takeaway from this fiasco is that, Scrooge McBoner and Scrooge McCruise basically ruined the holidays for a bunch of federal workers. And so if
yes.
you're a federal worker, you need to understand that the Republican Party and the Tea Party could care less about what you do. And also, if you're the working poor, they could care less about your lives. And
yeah.
people need to understand that, and they need to show up at the voting booths this upcoming election.
Yep, exactly. Did you see the Ted Cruz Wrecking Ball parody? He's in the Miley
yeah.
Cyrus Wrecking Ball video. He's a weird-looking I said he looks a little like It's Pat from Saturday Night Live and Ed Grimley. There's some sort of weird...
There's a little bit of Grandpa Munster mixed in there, too.
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes.
Look a bit like...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, where's that one thing where he's speaking to? His pants are just way too high. They're Ed Grimley high.
Mm-hmm. Ed Grimley pants.
Right.
Al Lewis face.
Yes. Yeah, the Wrecking Ball, they replaced Miley Cyrus's head with that of Ted Cruz. American Family Choice Voices is the one that put out the video. It said, been brought to this pass by the most radical king of megalomaniacs, and Cruz is their king. To serve their own bizarre, twisted vision of America and to feed their own massive egos, they're willing to cause a worldwide financial panic and throw tens of millions of people out of work. Let's hope that whichever sane Republicans are left standing in that party have the wisdom to stand up to Cruz and his wrecking ball. Noted douche nozzle Ted Cruz yesterday.
I think we have seen a remarkable thing happen.
Right.
Months ago, when the effort to defund Obamacare began.
Right.
Official Washington scoffed. They scoffed that the American people would rise up. They
Rightly
scoffed
so.
That the House
so.
Of Representatives would do anything, and they
right.
scoffed that the Senate would do anything.
Right.
We saw, first
right.
of all, millions upon millions of Americans rise up all over this country.
Give me money.
Over 2
give
million
me money.
People signing a national petition
right.
to
oh.
give me
defund
money.
Obamacare.
Yeah.
Oh,
unfortunately, the Senate chose not to follow the House. And in particular,
they're
saw
sane.
Real division among Senate Republicans. That was unfortunate. I would point out that had Senate Republicans united
right.
and supported House Republicans, the outcome of this, I believe, would have been very, very different.
Yeah,
I wish that had happened.
She'd be your uncle.
But it did not. But it does give a path going forward.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does
yeah.
give you
all
a path.
All right.
Yes.
Take care now.
And meanwhile,
right. bye-bye then.
Flushed $24 billion down the toilet.
Yeah.
Well done.
Gives you a path.
Great.
To electoral landslide defeat to
a
Hillary.
Highway to hell.
All right. Ted Cruz again yesterday.
I have no objections to the timing of this vote. And the reason is simple. There's nothing to be gained from delaying this vote one day or 2 days. Mm-hmm. The outcome will be the same.
Yeah, that you're still a loser. Loser, losey, McLoser.
Go back to Texas on your loser bus.
The way we are going to stop the suffering, the harms that are being visited on millions of Americans is the path we have seen these past couple of months, is the American people rising up.
Right, and saying you are a douche and stop it.
You're an idiot and you ruined Christmas.
Yeah.
For federal employees.
Pat in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hey. Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, I guess, I mean, I had a different talk point earlier, basically the guy that called in about the Fed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's,
yes,
that's
get rid
one of
the,
those
let's
ideas.
Get rid of the Fed and the NSA and everything is all solved.
Of course, because they haven't been around for how many years now and, well, this nation's still running. But, you know, there's like, it's like communism and socialism to a lot of people. Basically, it sounds awesome on paper. And then you throw in human error.
Exactly. The world is too messy for libertarianism.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like there's a million and a half ideas that you look at them and you're like, man, that would be awesome.
If the world were perfect.
Well, that's because they're all high. Just kidding. But they are Republicans and want to smoke pot. Isn't that what someone said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much. It's a little more than that. But,
all right.
Yeah.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. 22 minutes after the hour, liberal superstar Tom Hartman coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try Free button, and enter the promo code Stephanie, won't you? Jean in Illinois is a stenographer. She has some thoughts on the house stenographer. Hello, Jean.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. I hope I can be the official crazy liberal stenographer.
Thank you, please.
Oh, I've talked to you in the past and support Obamacare, but this is something else. Yeah, I just want to say this job does make you very crazy, so I can relate with her, but it just blows me away. I cannot believe she got up and did that. I've been a court reporter 35 years, and we can't say a word. We just have to sit there
right.
and, you know, take everything down and really.
I would give anything to read your thought bubble, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. WTF.
I tell you, if I was, and I'm very liberal, so if I had to take down all these Republicans
Louis
day
Gohmert.
In and day out, I'd be like in the nut house by now, I think. So.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
SC, sexy liberal, empathy.
But what would make someone just break down like that on the floor
Having
of the
to
house?
And break down what Louis Gohmert
well,
says.
Well,
all right, Senator Kelly Ayotte yesterday.
Shutting down the government was not a smart strategy and
think?
Not the right direction. And I hope we never do this again. And I hope we learn our lessons from this.
No,
not going to happen.
No,
because Ted Cruz made $7,000.
After losing $24 billion.
Excuse me. Our friend Dana Milbank writes, Republicans are at a dead end. Can I have some funeral music, please?
Sure.
He also noted, like a lot of people did, that they sang Amazing Grace. Here's how grave the House Republicans' condition has become, Dana writes. They're now in the care of a mortician. Appropriate choice, Amazing Grace, for the House GOP is practicing its own form of mortuary science. It is burying both the Republican brand and America's standing in the world.
Aww.
Thanks, Republicans.
Yay, Dana Milbank.
Oh, dear. If John Boner, I hope he wasn't up at Sardi's all night waiting for his reviews, because they are not.
Oh, they're awful.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I just imagine, you know, tear-stained newspapers at the tavern next to him.
The tavern.
Dorothy Parker said I had delusions of adequacy. I don't know who Dorothy Parker is.
Even Michael Medved, who's a former film critic, gave him bad reviews. Yeah. I talked to him the other day. John Boehner and his House Republicans woke to a round of epically horrible press about their role in the ongoing shutdown and debt ceiling crisis. The resulting reaction from the media would be enough to make any Republican weep, let alone the already tear-prone speaker. HuffPo writes, Politico called Boehner's efforts a disaster. The Washington Post described it as a humiliating failure.
Yeah.
And said Boehner and his colleagues had lost all control of their majority. An editorial from the arch-conservative Wall Street Journal fumed about the GOP strategy, saying the House caucus might as well hand the speaker's gavel to Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid, urging Republicans to give up their fight. House Republicans are the clear losers, ABC's John Carl said. They pushed to the brink and have nothing to show for it. Good day, sirs. Matt Drudge even got in on the action. Speaker Pelosi Part 2, opening January 5th, 2015.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, you've lost Matt Drudge.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Peter in Portland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Peter.
Hi. Hey, I was just going to bring up, it was Tom Hartman who said that libertarians just want to smoke dope and get laid.
Okay.
We'll talk that about that next, yes.
Yeah, actually, and you know, and I was thinking about the Libertarian Party. You know, in the past, libertarians every 4 years have somebody that runs for president. And this Tea Party faction of the Republican Party, they're not actually Republicans. You know, when they talk about the rift in the Republican Party, they're talking about the rift between the Republican Party and libertarians. And if they split, they should just be honest about it, because these people don't believe in our form of government at all. They just want to tear the whole thing down and have their own, you know, whatever government that's convoluted that they want. Mm-hmm. But they're not Republicans. That's why McCain and these guys are finally speaking out against them. They use them because it was convenient for them to get elected. But they're just libertarians without, you know, mm-hmm. without any kind of conscience about what the government was actually formed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
by the way,
they should just be honest about it.
Yeah. Speaking of bad reviews, Houston Chronicle has revoked its endorsement of Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Does anyone else miss Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson, they wrote? Or, is, of course, Tom DeLay would... the last drunken House Speaker.
Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
I'll see your gift certificate.
I bet you he's going to be knocking him back with John Boehner. Okay, they write, we're not sure how much of a difference one person can make in the toxic, chaotic, hyperpartisan atmosphere in Washington, but if we could choose just one, it would be Hutchinson, whose years of service in the Senate were marked by two things sorely lacking in her successor, Ted Cruz. We miss her extraordinary understanding of the importance of reaching across the aisle when necessary. Neither sitting Texas senator has displayed that useful skill, and both the state and the Congress are poorer for it. One reason we particularly believe that Hutchinson would make a difference in these hectic days, if she had kept her seat, Cruz would not be in the Senate. When we endorsed Ted Cruz in last November's general election, we did so with many reservations and at least one specific recommendation, that he follow Hutchinson's example in his conduct as a senator. Obviously, he has not done so. Cruz has been part of the problem in a specific situations where Hutchinson would have been part of the solution. Houston Chronicle saying, good day, sir. You get nothing, not even our endorsement anymore.
Ha-ha.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Fred in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Fred.
Hi. I think we should have a sanity check for anybody running for office. The likes of Michelle Bachmann, who's saying, we're in the end times. I mean, she's rejoicing that the world's going to fall apart so Jesus can come back on a white horse. I mean, this is just insanity. These people have no basis in reality.
I think you're thinking of Tommy Trojan at USC. I don't think it's...
And there ain't no sanity clause.
Hey!
Hey!
Oh, bless your heart. You try.
Hi, everybody.
Okay.
Knows. There ain't no sanity clause.
Oh, boy. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Tom Hartman next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You look like you should be holding up round cards at a dogfight in Fresno.
I've done that. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34
Travis
minutes.
Travis used to do it.
Yeah. After the hour. 1-800.
Travis grew up doing that.
1-800. It's a training for this job.
Fresno. Yeah. At least it's not Stockton.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, well, we have just survived worldwide financial catastrophe and Armageddon, and here comes Tom Hartman to tell us about how global warming is about to cause extinction.
Great.
Good morning, Tom Hartman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good, liberal superstar Tom Hartman.
Oh, I miss hearing you after our show.
Aw, me too.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, although we're all doomed, you know.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Well.
we just survived a financial catastrophe, and last hours, your film raises the issue of global warming-induced extinction. Tell us more, Uncle Tom.
Yes, it's over at lasthours.org. You can see the video. You can see Al Gore's endorsement of the video and all kinds of other cool stuff. It's a 10-minute YouTube that we put together. It was produced by George DiCaprio and Earl Katz, and I wrote it and narrated it. And basically the premise is that if you look at the five big historic geologic extinctions, like the one that ended the dinosaurs 65 million years ago, or the worst of all of them, the Permian mass extinction 250 million years ago, they were all caused by global warming. And they were all caused by one particular, when they all got really, really bad, where more than half of all life died, it was because the oceans warmed up enough that the methane hydrates, these frozen bubbles of methane, the methane isn't actually frozen, but it's locked up in ice crystals that are on the bottom of the ocean. And there's like 7 or 8 trillion tons of this stuff in the ocean and up in the Arctic. But that warmed up enough, and it only takes a degree or two of warming to warm ice, and then the methane gas bubbles up to the surface.
Yikes.
And methane is 70 times more potent than carbon dioxide, and so you get this huge pulse of warming, and the warming kills things off.
Dear God.
And we've got to avoid that tipping point. We may be centuries away from it. We may be just decades away from it. Nobody knows.
You know what would be a great way for Al Gore to get out the message about that? If he had a television network of some... Oh, I'm just kidding. Oh, it's a personal thing, Tom. That's not important now. That's not important now. Let's move on. Bitter, party one. But this is... This is an important film. I mean, that what you just said is obviously terrifying, but it's described as exploring the possibility we could be close centuries, or as you just said, perhaps just decades to tipping points, as you call it, that could lead to a sixth mass extinction, and relies on input from some of the world's leading scientists.
Well,
so this is not just hooey.
I've been reading about this for years. I subscribed to all these science publications. I'm a science junkie. And I've been reading this in the geology journals and in Science Magazine. You know, they publish from geophysical letters and stuff. And the geologists have been talking about this for like a decade. They're kind of in back channel. They're talking to each other in peer-reviewed published papers about the similarities between the Permian mass extinction and what we're doing right now. And so we made this video because we want the climate scientists to hear from the geologists, because they haven't been talking to each other. They're different disciplines.
So weird. Something else we have in common. That's what I read almost exclusively is geology journals.
I know. We swap articles.
No, I wouldn't worry about it, because when the Fukushima fuel rods explode, we're done anyway. So.
Oh,
Jim
always looking at the bright side.
Indeed.
Tommy, you said something important. That you said it's almost impossible to know when you pass a tipping point. You only see them in retrospect. That's a little. So you say we have to do everything we can now to avoid inadvertently hitting tipping points that might lead to catastrophic methane releases. Which, you know why I said that part, because it's a fart joke. But that is true.
That's right. Methane is. As Ronald Reagan famously told us, it's cow fun. No, are you really worried about it?
I'm reading from your last book, The Last Hours of Humanity, which is equally upbeat, but it goes into depth on this very topic, right, about how would we know when we pass a tipping point?
Yeah, this is a little ebook that we published that's basically all the science behind the video, and it's 99 cents on, Amazon, and there's a free copy actually on the website at lasthours.org. And yeah, the problem with tipping points is like we've apparently, and there's a pretty broad consensus on this, already passed the tipping point that is going to lead within the next somewhere between a decade and three decades to an ice-free Arctic. I mean, there's no turning back from that now. And so the big question now, since there's somewhere between 1 and 2 trillion tons of carbon locked up in the Arctic, methane locked up in the Arctic, We've only burned 350 billion tons since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. So this is like five times what we've already burned. And what caused the Permian mass extinction was only about 1.5 trillion tons. The big question is if that ice-free Arctic is going to be enough to warm up the methane ice under the, you know, that's because the Arctic is a fairly shallow ocean. If it's going to be enough to warm that up and produce a pulse of methane that could just take us all down.
Well, if Sarah Palin can't see it from her house, it obviously isn't happening.
Does
this?
True.
But I mean, I kid, of course, Tom Hartman, as you know, I do. But I mean, does that concern you? That this party, right? Look at what just happened. This party is you know, littered with anti-science crazies. I mean,
100% of the Republican freshmen who were elected in the last election, 100% of them believe global warming's a hoax, and the majority of them believe the Earth's only 6,000 years old. Oh. So you tell them about a mass extinction 250 million years ago, and they think you're talking about something that happened on Mars.
Right, right. It is terrifying, but does that give you less hope? Or, you know, when you look at the polling of what's just happened with this whole, shutdown and debt ceiling crisis, do you have hope that we are going to elect more people that are what's the word I'm looking for? Saner.
I do. It's sort of the AA thing. You know, you've got to hit bottom before you start looking up. And this is why we produced this video that's over at lasthours.org is to say, hey, look out. Here's the bottom. Right. This is the worst case scenario. And hopefully this will wake some people up. And we're trying to encourage people to, you know, Facebook it and tweet it and share it. I think
you look at what just happened, though, you think just keeping the government running and us, you know, away from financial catastrophe seems to be the best they can do presently. So that's why, you know, people like you and I go, are we ever going to get to actual issues that, like this, that are really important?
Yeah, and here's one of the really bizarre things is that there's a huge scientific project that NASA's running right now to try and figure out how much methane there is in the Arctic and what it might take to melt it. It's called the CARV experiment, C-A-R-V-E. One of the scientists, Charles Miller, from that experiment, lead scientist, is in our video. That got shut down with the government shutdown during this critical window of time when it would be possible for them to learn something. I mean, the Arctic is closing up fast right now.
Yeah, I mean it is terrifying. I mean it, everything you read, and you're absolutely right about the fact that I think I just heard Rush Limbaugh the other day. They act like it's a foregone conclusion that global warming is a hoax. That's what everyone believes now. And I'm like, is it possible we've actually lost progress on this issue that you know is so critical?
I think not. I think the latest IPCC report, which says you know. It's a consensus report, which means 100% of the people who signed on to it agree with it. And so it's the most conservative. The IPCC has always, their worst case scenarios have always been exactly what happens. So, you know, it's the most conservative. And they did not pick up the issue of methane because there's still a lot of debate about how much is there and when it's going to happen. And they couldn't say officially and conclusively. And that's why the NASA is up there trying to do this CARV experiment to find out. But this last report was like, hey, there's no doubt that global warming is happening by people. You know, it's just, there's no doubt.
My advice to you is to start drinking heavily.
Yes. Well, I've already started. Yeah. Way ahead of you.
This is probably going to be in, you know, in our children, grandchildren, or great-great-grandchildren's lives, you know, or the end of thereof. But we're the ones alive who can prevent it from happening. We have the technology right now to go carbon-free worldwide in 10 years. Mm-hmm. We have that technology.
Well, see, this is why I've had the foresight to start drinking and not have any children in the first place, Tom. So I don't have to worry about any of this. But good luck to the rest of you. Last Hours is the film. Tom Hartman is the man. Love you, Tom. It's been too long. Come on back on anytime.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes. Tom Hartman, yay! Yay, we are awaiting the president speaking about this latest Mishpuka. Right.
Sure.
Thing that's happening.
Gangsta mic drop.
Right. Yeah, I hope he just does that. Just bam!
I think it has a little more gravitas than that.
A little bit.
Let's hope not. 43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we need to take a second to say yay.
Yay.
For Senator-elect Cory Booker.
Yay.
Whom we know. I hung out with him at the inauguration. We had pictures of.
You
yes.
name dropper.
Yep.
Too many people are forgetting that the lines that divide us are nothing compared to those ties that bind us. It forgets, this cynical attitude forgets the idea that that ideal, the truth, that we are all in this together.
I think his point is we need to bind and gag Ted Cruz and then everyone else will get along magically well.
We're all
That's
in this
not what he said.
We're all in this together, including Ted Cruz.
I'm picking up what he's putting down. Right.
Cory knocked it out of the park at the convention.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dan in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie. No one is talking about Michael Steele, the former RNC chairman. He brought these teabaggers, these nuts in, back in, I think it was like 2010. It's like they chose to date arm candy to show off to their friends, and they knew that the date was bipolar. And when they introduced it, she showed up nuts, and now everyone knows it. She showed up a Brillo pad.
It's like that Kim Basinger movie. What is that? She's the bipolar, you know, Oh, you know, you know what movie I'm talking about, Dan.
Yeah,
help me.
I remember with Richard Gere.
Confidential.
Yeah.
First date, last date, something. Help me. Somebody, throw me a line. Charlie in
My
Florida.
My stepfather was an alien?
No! Yeah. Hi, Charlie.
Nine and a half weeks?
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
No, that's a different movie. Hi, Charlie.
How you doing? First off, it's a pleasure and honor to speak to you.
Thank you.
I've admired you a long time personally.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. My question simply is this. In lieu of the fact that the Republicans have did everything they could short of Obama vote to screw up the country, do you realistically think the Democrats can parlay this into major midterm victories next year?
Do I think? Yeah, I do. I mean, I was looking at this Princeton professor broke down the broke down the numbers of the PPP polling, and this gerrymandering might not. I love this. It's in Bloomberg. Hold on. In other happy clappy news, everybody. Conventional wisdom says the Tea Party wing of the House can do more or less whatever it wants because representatives are gerrymandered into safe districts. Mm-hmm. How many times have we heard that?
Yep.
As Republican popularity has tanked, though, in recent national polls since the shutdown started, that notion looks far less certain. Princeton professor Sam Wang.
No comment.
Wang had some comments on Boehner and his friends.
Oh,
found that gerrymandered districts may actually be less safe than those that aren't politically altered.
Has he met Dick Armey?
Wang found that Dick Armey and his friends, they lost twice as much support over the shutdown in gerrymandered districts than in regular red districts. I know, exactly. We talked about the rest of the GOP district largely filled with independents. He said when they swing against you, they swing hard, said Wang.
Wow.
About Boehner and Dick Armey. Wang extrapolates that the disproportionate reaction to the shutdown puts dozens more seats in play in the 2014 election. He said it turned the likelihood of Democrats taking over the House from 13% to as high as 50. Zoinks. He also said there's irony that if the widespread disapproval holds, the GOP may have shot themselves in the foot with their successful redistricting in 2011. So sad. And this headline, Boehner's jam. Caucus loves but won't follow him.
Aww.
Like any other dysfunctional relationship. Poor little feller. House Republicans refuse to let their supposed leader, John Boehner, steer them toward big policy decisions, leaving him to endure repeated public embarrassments. Yet they rally around Boehner as much as ever, affirming his hold on the speakership. Representative Richard Hudson, Republican North Carolina, said he's done a good job keeping us together. Oh, yeah. It's
good what you did.
It's real good what you did, Boehner.
Good what you did, Anthony. It's real good. We love TV night.
John Fleming of Republican of Louisiana said, I think his stock has risen tremendously. Oh, yes. And certainly he has great security as our leader and our speaker.
What?
My God, really?
God, they're in a bubble. Wow.
House Republicans' habit of praising but not heeding Boehner reflected the Tea Party's devotion to putting principle above deal-making. This guy I love, Representative Tim Huskamp of Republican of Kansas. He said, Republicans lost the battle, but we're going to win the war. He said it plans to keep attacking Obamacare.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Over?
Over?
No.
Did you say over?
Okay, Bluto.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
Mm-hmm.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the toughs get going.
Mm-hmm.
Who's with me?
Nobody.
Let's go! Come on!
Hey! Oh, by the way, he looks like Bluto, too, Huell's Kemp.
Does he? Oh, God.
In January, he voted to dump Boner as Speaker, but then he joined Wednesday's standing ovation for Boner in a Culler's Dark Caucus gathering.
God, what a hypocrite.
He said this is probably the best example of him following the 200 folks in our caucus who are conservative and are worried about Obamacare. So they think he did spectacularly well by listening to the crazy Tea Party caucus. Boner said in a subdued statement.
Yeah.
Our drive to stop the train wreck that is the president's health care law will continue.
Oh, boy.
You
are the train wreck.
He sounds a little bit dispirited. He's literally phoning it in. Do we have that? He was,
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why he was afraid of appearing.
We've been locked in a fight over here, trying to bring government down to size, trying to do our best to stop Obamacare, and we fought the good fight. We just didn't win.
You
brought the government down to size, all right,
no,
to the tune of $24 billion.
By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news out of Washington. The Panda Cam is back on.
Oh,
yes!
I can see you, Mr. Panda.
The Panda Cam.
The Panda Cam.
Hi.
I know he's your Panda Cam.
How you been? Okay. He's like, ah, jeez.
Looks like the turtle cam right now.
Listen, we feel your pain. Everybody at the NSA is back to work, too, Mr. Panda. Suck it up. Hi, we can see you. Okay, sorry. He's like, aye.
Oh, God.
Aye. All right, we are still awaiting the president and his press conference on the budget deal.
Mm-hmm.
This will be interesting to see how this all plays out, by the way. The gerrymandering, the Tea Party. Daily Beast today, Tea Party donors pushed back. Business leaders warned about the dire consequences of a default, but in some ways they got what they paid for. They overwhelmingly backed Republican congressional candidates in 2012, including Ted Cruz.
Aha!
How's that working out for you?
Look what you got. Aren't you happy? I sit through meetings now with Republican lobbyists, one said, and it's grim how they made this investment in the Republicans in the House, and this is what they have to show for it. The ABA, that's a business association, gave thousands of dollars to members of Congress who now say that the U.S. could go through the debt ceiling without harmful effects, including Ted Yoho.
Yoho.
I just like saying it. Yoho, Republican of...
Yoho, yoho, a pirate's life for me.
Right. He's the cow doctor who said breaking the debt ceiling, quote, would bring stability to world markets.
What?
He once again is
wrong.
A cow doctor.
Wrong. Wish you were a screaming goat doctor.
Representative Bill Foster, Democrat of Illinois, said, I wonder how many times we have to go through this before Wall Street gets the idea that when a crisis hits, one party is predominantly the adults in the room, and one party is the ideological party that actually drives us to this ledge.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I think they'd figured that out.
Right. I mean, these big business guys, you know, you have to go, are you going to keep reflexively giving to Republicans that are the ones that are going to, I'm telling you, everybody became
$24 billion.
Mortimer and Randolph Duke during this crisis.
That's my
Turn the
money!
Machines on!
These machines back on!
F him!
My brother's just had a heart attack. Him!
I love that movie.
I love it, too.
It was the Dukes. It was the Dukes.
I haven't seen that since it was in theaters.
We got to watch it again. John McCain is Dan Aykroyd.
Who's Jamie Lee Curtis?
Ted Cruz is Eddie Murphy.
Who's Jamie
it was the Dukes. Stop strangling me. It was the Dukes.
Who's Jamie Lee Curtis and takes her top off?
Ooh.
I'm going to go
Michelle Bachman.
Michelle Bachman.
Yeah.
Not that Marcus cares, but 58 minutes after the hour. Bob Seska and more of the President's Press Conference as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. We join the president live in progress at his press conference.
That includes the hard work of regaining their trust.
Our system of self-government doesn't function without it. And now that the government is reopened and this threat to our economy is removed, all of us need to stop focusing on the lobbyists and the bloggers and the talking heads on radio and the professional activists who profit from conflict and focus on what the majority of Americans sent us here to do. And that's grow this economy, create good jobs, strengthen the middle class, educate our kids, lay the foundation for broad-based prosperity, and get our fiscal house in order for the long haul. That's why we're here. That should be our focus. Now, that won't be easy. We all know that we have divided government right now. There's a lot of noise out there. And the pressure from the extremes affect how a lot of members of Congress see the day-to-day work that's supposed to be done here. And let's face it, the American people don't see every issue the same way. But that doesn't mean we can't make progress. And when we disagree, we don't have to suggest that the other side doesn't love this country or believe in free enterprise or all the other rhetoric that seems to get worse every single year. If we disagree on something, we can move on and focus on the things we agree on and get some stuff done. Let me be specific about three places where I believe we can make progress right now. First, in the coming days and weeks, we should sit down and pursue a balanced approach to a responsible budget. A budget that grows our economy faster and shrinks our long-term deficits further. At the beginning of this year, that's what both Democrats and Republicans committed to doing. Senate passed a budget, House passed a budget. They're supposed to come together and negotiate. And had one side not decided to pursue a strategy of brinksmanship, each side could have gotten together and figured out how do we shape a budget that provides certainty to businesses and people who rely on government, provides certainty to investors and our economy, and we'd be growing faster right now. Now, the good news is the legislation I signed yesterday now requires Congress to do exactly that, what it could have been doing all along.
Thank you.
And we shouldn't approach this process of creating a budget as an ideological exercise, just cutting for the sake of cutting. The issue is not growth versus fiscal responsibility. We need both. We need a budget that deals with the issues that most Americans are focused on. Creating more good jobs that pay better wages.
Yeah, I'm not used to this.
And remember, the deficit is getting smaller, not bigger.
Hello. Uh-huh.
It's going down faster than it has in the last 50 years.
Can you, Nazi socialist?
The challenge we have right now are not short-term deficits. It's the long-term obligations that we have around things like Medicare and Social Security. We want to make sure those are there for future generations. So the key now is a budget that cuts out the things that we don't need.
Ted Cruz.
Closes corporate tax loopholes that don't help create jobs. And frees up resources for the things that do help us grow, like education and infrastructure and research. And these things historically have not been partisan. And this shouldn't be as difficult as it's been in past years because we already spend less than we did a few years ago. Our deficits are half of what they were a few years ago.
In other words, double.
The debt problems we have now are long term, and we can address them without shortchanging our kids or shortchanging our grandkids or weakening the security that current generations have earned from their hard work. So that's number one. Number two, we should finish fixing the job of our... Let me say that again. Number two, we should finish the job of fixing our broken immigration system.
Yes.
There's already a broad coalition across America that's behind this effort of comprehensive immigration reform, from business leaders to faith leaders to law enforcement. In fact, the Senate has already passed a bill with strong bipartisan support that would make the biggest commitment to border security in our history, would modernize our legal immigration system, make sure everyone plays by the same rules, make sure that folks who came here illegally have to pay a fine, pay back taxes, meet their responsibilities. That bill's already passed the Senate. And economists estimate that if that bill becomes law, our economy would be 5% larger 2 decades from now. That's $1.4 trillion in new economic growth. The majority of Americans think this is the right thing to do. And it's sitting there waiting for the House to pass it. Now, if the House has ideas on how to improve the Senate bill, let's hear them. Let's start the negotiations. But let's not leave this problem to keep festering for another year or 2 years or 3 years. This can and should get done by the end of this year. Number three, we should pass a farm bill. One that American farmers and ranchers can depend on. One that protects vulnerable children and adults in times of need. One that gives rural communities opportunities to grow and the long-term certainty that they deserve. Again, the Senate's already passed a solid bipartisan bill. It's got support from Democrats and Republicans. It's sitting in the House, waiting for passage. If House Republicans have ideas that they think would improve the farm bill, let's see them. Let's negotiate.
Steve King does.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for? Let's get this done.
Stunning ideas.
Ugh.
So, passing a budget, immigration reform, farm bill. Those are three specific things that would make a huge difference in our economy right now. And we could get them done by the end of the year, if our focus is on what's good for the American people. And that's just the big stuff. There are all kinds of other things that we could be doing that don't get as much attention. I understand we will not suddenly agree on everything now that the cloud of crisis has passed. Democrats and Republicans are far apart on a lot of issues. And I recognize there are folks on the other side who think that my policies are misguided. That's putting it mildly. That's okay. That's democracy. That's how it works. We can debate those differences vigorously, passionately, in good faith, through the normal democratic process. And sometimes we'll be just too far apart to forge an agreement. But that should not hold back our efforts in areas where we do agree. We shouldn't fail to act on areas that we do agree or could agree just because we don't think it's good politics.
All right. All right.
That was good.
Good stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. As soon as he agrees that he is not American, he's from Kenya, they will be satisfied in the House. What is? Why is he being so intransigent? Why is he
transigent?
No. Why is he being so stubborn?
There you go. Use that word instead. Or stern.
Black. Why is he? Okay.
Oh, here's
why would he compromise?
Here's a fun headline. Mitch McConnell got a $2 billion kickback by signing the debt deal.
Oh.
$2 billion.
Well, that's lucky for him.
There's some last-minute pork in there for him.
Wow. We.
Turtles don't normally like pork. But
no.
In that case.
No. Oh, here's some fun facts from Mattoblog on Republican demands.
Yes.
They asked for defund Obamacare, delay individual mandate, deny coverage to the president, deny coverage to the cabinet, deny coverage to congressional staffers, deny birth control coverage, approve Keystone Pipeline, means testing for Medicare, change federal employee pensions, expand oil drilling, block net neutrality, tort reform, weaken regulations for coal-fired power plants, tax code changes, thwart EPA coal coal regulations, repeal medical device tax, change rules on debt ceiling. They got
nothing. Nothing.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Mm-hmm. They got nothing. Or as Fox News says, no, both sides didn't really get what they wanted.
Nice try.
My jaw dropped when I heard Brett Baer say that yesterday.
Oh, look, this is a man after my own heart. Andy Borowitz. Obama declares National Day of Gloating. I'm all on that. Residents of D.C. were roused from their sleep by massive fireworks display over the White House just after midnight as President Obama declared what he called the National Day of Gloating. I'm way ahead of you. I'm all over it. Don't worry about it. All right, 17 minutes.
Mic drop. Boom.
Gangsta mic drop. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. What you got to say? Hey, 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 hey. Stephanie Miller.
What you got to say? Hey. Oh, well, what I got to say is Bob Seska of the Daily Banter coming up at the bottom of the hour. 22 minutes after the hour. I'm sorry. Say what now? Ted Cruz is where now?
He's outside the Capitol.
Uh-huh.
Staging a photo op. He's visiting, or he's greeting visitors to the Capitol as the Capitol reopens.
So welcoming
visitors.
Them
Look
back.
Look what I did.
Oh, isn't that great?
Could you just not breathe?
I just love this Andy Borowitz. Obama declares National Day of Gloating. It would not be productive for this nation going forward to crow about our victory over political adversaries, he said in a nationally televised address. So let's get it all out of our systems today. Immediately after the president's speech, loudspeakers outside the White House blasted, "We are the champions," as the National Day of Gloating begins. In addition to a ticker tape parade, the day's events will include a screening on the Mall of a clip of Senator Ted Cruz's marathon Senate speech, punctuated by sad trombone sounds. Let's see. Starting tomorrow, my message to Republicans is, let's work together for the American people, said Obama, wearing what appeared to be a beer hat. But today, my message is, we won, bitches.
Boy. Welcome to the government. Look what I did.
I opened it back up for you.
I want to force feed them green eggs and ham.
Yeah. Oops, sorry. We don't know where the FDA inspectors
Oops.
Went.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that looks like it has gone bad.
No. If only there had been food inspectors who could have.
Oops. Yikes. Someone's got a rumbly tumbly. Wee. Yikes. Thank God you got those great big pants.
Ooh, that looks just as bad coming out as it did going
Ooh,
in.
Ooh, yikes. That looks even greener.
Yep.
Hello, buddy in Columbus.
Mama, that's my president. I am so proud of that man right now.
Yeah.
He was pissed. That is as pissed in public as I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
And I kind of know because I've
And I love his protection. Pissed. His pissed is still cool. If one party hadn't decided to, grandstand or whatever
Seriously,
he said.
Seriously. I've done election protection work, and the people from the Obama administration told us that he's called No Drama Obama for a reason. He does not get angry in public. You know, that's how he's worked. That is as close to being angry, just furious as I've ever seen him.
I think you're right.
The way he ripped him up one side and down the other.
Yep.
I mean, this was totally unnecessary. And all I can say is thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
One more thing is what he did a couple days ago when it got too much, he left the White House and he went and made sandwiches for poor people.
Yep.
I mean, these Ted Cruz's and these boners, they're not even qualified to lick clean his toilet.
Exactly. By the way, you said election protection. I'm sorry. I thought I misheard you there for a moment. I thought you said
erection
protection, which
That's
I've worked
completely different.
I've worked in that for a time, but I wasn't good at it. Let's go to Connie in Los Angeles. You're
and
on.
So you went running the other way.
Right.
Yeah.
Good morning.
All about the cat wine these days. Hello, Connie in L.A.
Hi. I appreciate your radio station, and I'd like to tell you that I'm so proud of Barack Obama, President Barack Obama. And I'm also thinking, what can we do to get people that don't listen to radio stations like yours
Well, you need to change all of their dials to my radio station, as you call it. I'm glad you are enjoying my radio station. Okay. Jim, Eleanor Clift.
Wrong!
No.
She's very right.
She's right.
Jack Tramondo, wrong!
Because we've often said, like, how much of this is just blatant racism. She goes to the Confederacy out in force as the fringe rules the GOP. I mean, you saw this ridiculous display with the Confederate flags and what's his name, Larry Klayman?
Yeah.
He worships, freedom the president worships or... Allah. He needs to put down the Quran and come out with his hands.
An idiot. Get up off his knees
down,
and come out. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Just a whole bowl of racism right there.
Yeah. Eleanor writes, Republicans have let their Tea Party minority take over, and now they're suffering the consequences. Ugly racism and Confederate flag waving that may damage the party further after the shutdown and the debt debacle is over, says Eleanor Clift.
Wrong!
No, that's right. You reap what you sow, and Republicans are paying the price for elevating a minority within their party. Is a democracy run amok when the country teeters on the edge of default because of a small number of Tea Party anti-government absolutionists? Oh, by the way, did you see over the weekend Joe the Plumber chimed back in again?
Oh, God, really?
Golly, golly. Well, when Sarah Palin's there, can Joe the Plumber be far behind over the weekend? He was the star of the 2008 Republican convention, as you recall. He weighed in on Twitter. He said, America needs a white Republican president. Ugh. Sorry, mainstream media, I'm not a racist, I'm an American.
Oh, God.
If you have to say, I'm not a racist, you're probably a racist.
You are an American idiot, much like Sarah Palin.
You're an idiot!
I could not hear that. Eleanor finishes, right-wing populism in the Obama era has always had an undercurrent of racial animus, says Matt Bennett, co-founder of Third Way, but now the lid is coming off and overt racism is bubbling out.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want at a rally critical of the president is for some nut to be waving a Confederate flag. Embracing the Confederacy is bad history and bad politics.
Yeah.
Get it.
It's also treasonous.
Yeah. Joe the Plumber, where you been? by the way, speaking of Hillary, she may have tipped her hand on Tuesday about her plans to run for 2016. Really? Who could have seen that coming? Speaking in Atlanta at a convention, she spent 25 minutes talking about the Osama bin Laden raid.
Oh.
And the crux of that discussion that she was for the raid and Vice President Joe Biden did not support the action. One person was there, so without turning the knife too deeply, she put it to Biden. Uh-oh. Primary Hillary's back. Look out. For instance, I just saw this headline.
Turkey?
London parking warden tickets Hillary Clinton's car.
Uh-oh.
Someone's going to get a drone at some point.
Turkey?
You got to have some nads to give Hillary Clinton a parking ticket, right?
They probably didn't know that it was her car.
Okay. All right. So we have Bob Seska coming up of the Daily Banter. This is very, very important. Oreos, as it turns out, are as addictive as cocaine, according to a new study.
I could have told you that. I mean, how many times have I sat down with with a package of Oreos and all of a sudden it's gone?
Especially when it comes to the creamy center, according to a new study. Are you the kind that eats the center first?
Of course.
You're a communist.
What?
Lab rats who ate America's favorite cookie formed an equally strong association as they did when injected with cocaine or morphine.
Wow.
According to the cookies also ignited more neurons in the pleasure center of the brain than those exposed to the drugs. And the rats, just like you, they went straight for the center, breaking the cookie apart, leaving the chocolate cookie.
Of course.
And eating the creamy center, like most communists.
Absolutely.
Chris LeBoy, rats, atheists, communists.
Stephanie Miller.
She's lovely. And a darling figure. Supple, pouting breasts. Firm thighs.
Oh, boy, thank you. 34 minutes. It's spinning. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. What better person to spend the National Day of Gloating with than Bob Seska, our friend from the Daily Banter. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm suffering from a killer Schadenfreude hangover. I'd be slow on the uptake today.
Wasn't it hilarious watching them trying to make it seem like they got something out of this?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. Well, no, they got nothing.
Right.
They got nothing. That Wonka clip. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have that here queued up. I just
you get
that, I've been playing
nothing.
For the last 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Over and over.
That was going to be the case from the beginning. There was no way they were going to get anything out of this. I mean, it just doesn't. Their numbers, the approval rating of members of Congress, the approval rating of the Tea Party, the visibility of these nationally unknown characters were never going to match up to a guy who has a 48% approval rating, who has a bully pulpit, who can make a case, who's recognized, and that was, I think, the linchpin to all of this. Plus, they had an incoherent message, no strategy. They turned the World War II memorial into a thing which was completely incoherent. So, they were bound to lose from the beginning.
Well, I mean, as somebody was reporting today, Bob, that Boehner, among others, knew it. They knew it from the beginning, but his caucus listened to Ted Cruz and not to him, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, this is the tail wagging the dog. This is the Tea Party with their 21% approval rating, controlling the entire Republican Party, the entire House GOP especially, and John Boehner completely unable to control what's happening because he's, there's still this misapprehension that the Tea Party, because it's very, very loud, is also very, very large, and it's not. It's just
right.
Loudness. And the mistake that's constantly being made, and especially by John Boehner, is that loudness translates into something. I don't know what it is, but something meaningful. And
but you're
not.
Right. That's what we saw in all this polling, is not only the Tea Party numbers dropping and dropping and dropping, but Ted Cruz is wildly popular within that. I mean, if somebody said this, that if he's their nominee, Hillary wins Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
maybe the biggest landslide ever. I mean, you have to hope that they keep going. Like, okay, yes, Ted Cruz is your hero. You know,
yes, please keep following that guy who misunderstands green eggs and ham. That's a smart move.
Yeah, exactly. The president mentioned all the point of your article, and I think he said, as my friend Bob Seska says. No, he didn't. But he said he was talking about the deficit. And you say, why isn't the GOP complaining about the deficit? Because it's dropping fast. And the president mentioned that just now.
Yeah, this has been it's sort of been a whipping boy for the Republicans for quite a while now, that mentioning the deficit, but it's been sort of eerily not mentioned at all during something that directly involves the deficit, which is this during this government shutdown. They haven't mentioned it whatsoever. It's because it's fallen by, I think it started at $1.4 trillion. For fiscal year 2009, which was actually George W. Bush contributed $1.2 trillion to that with his final budget request. And so now, at the end of 2013, the CBO is projecting that it's going to be $642 billion, which is less than half of what it was when the president took office. And that's a pretty big deal. I mean, it's going to be down to about 2% of GDP by the end of his second term.
Yeah. I love the way you say House Republicans and Speaker Boehner, while they were in full Three Stooges trying to fix the plumbing mode. That's what's been overshadowed. The budget deficit is the 4,000-pound gorilla in the room, and this is what the president said the first time. And you pointed out some interesting historical fun facts that Reagan presided, because you were saying, first of all, the debt and the deficit, two different things, but Ronald Reagan presided over a 188% increase in the debt, Bush a 55.6% increase, Bush 43 an 89% increase. And as you said, the year-over-year increase in the debt under President Obama has dropped from 15% to 4%. So, and that's what's interesting is, as you say, you can name two Democratic presidents who've cut the deficit, Clinton and Obama. And I did not know, Jim didn't even know this, the last Republican president who cut the deficit was Eisenhower.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's about time, I think, that the Democrats take back the frame of being fiscally responsible, because they've got the record. I mean, they absolutely have the record. The Republicans, I don't know how they continue to do it. I guess it's just repetition and bumper stickers, but they somehow continue to tout themselves as being fiscally responsible when not one Republican president in modern history, at least since Eisenhower, has cut the deficit. Every single Republican president has presided over it. And there's always that mistake that's made, wait, it's Congress that controls the purse strings. It's the House of Representatives that has blah, 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 blah. But that's not the case at all, because it's always the president who has to sign those appropriations bills. And so Reagan was signing them, and Bush 41 was signing them, and Bush 43 was signing them, and Nixon was signing them. So that's, if you're gonna blame a president for a higher deficit, then you have to give that president credit when the deficit is cut, and that is absolutely the case with this president.
And you've included a helpful graph, slowest spending in decades, annualized growth of federal spending, and there you are, Reagan 8.7, we have Bush 2 at 7.3, 8.1, President Obama by far the lowest, at 1.4%. Right.
Yeah, and that might actually be a little lower now since the sequestration went into effect. So it might actually be even less than 1.4%, if that's even possible.
Yeah, well, that, by the way, so that seems to be what Republicans are claiming is their quote-unquote victory now, the sequestration levels of spending, which they said were a disaster and were designed to never happen, right?
Yeah. Well, that seems to be what they've been doing lately, which is to say, oh, sequester's terrible. Sequester's terrible. It's Obama's fault. It's Obama's fault. And now it's, we love that. We want more of that. And it's completely incoherent. It's like, you know, this whole bit with the World War II Memorial, especially, is suddenly a bunch of Republicans who have been cutting the Interior Department, have been proposing cuts to the national parks, suddenly embrace something that's part of the national park system. I don't understand any of it. I mean, you go back to 2012, specifically regarding the deficit. You have, you know, lies up and down about the president's record about on the deficit, and confusing the deficit and debt, and saying, you know, Mitt Romney was saying that the president promised to reduce the deficit by half, but in fact he's doubled it, which was a big lie. And so that sets everything in motion. That sets a tone, and we've been seeing that throughout the past year, and especially over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, I mean, so but the problem now, Bob, is now what? As we were saying, this goes till January. Are they, because you just when you think, oh, they've got to learn something, I mean, is this exact same thing going to happen in January?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. In fact,
Oh, yes. The
next time it happens, it's going to be over birth control. It's going to be over this birth control provision of the Affordable Care Act, and they've already sort of telegraphed that, and they're going to turn that into a fight. Yes, we're going to threaten to shut down the government again. This time over birth control. These are people with priorities,
and they'll blame the park rangers again for shutting down.
Yeah.
No, I blame the Freemasons. It's all their fault.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yikes. Listen, if you had to write down every word Louis Gohmert said, you'd be losing it right now, too, Bob.
Doi, hurt, dark, which way did it go?
Freemasons.
How do you spell doi?
Praise be to God.
Yeah. But, I mean, are we going to have the same kind of brinksmanship? That was a pretty epic smackdown the president just gave on TV. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, it's great. It was great to see him do a victory lap. He certainly deserved it. But I think we're going to see this all over again. It may not be as loud and as big as this time around, but Ted Cruz got the flavor of celebrity in his mouth. And I think he's going to do it again. I think he's going to start this up again. They might have, in fact, they might even do it a little bit better. But who knows? They're not very smart people.
Can't we deport him to Canada and Cuba at the same time?
Yeah, sure.
Just decide which half wants, you know, which country wants which half.
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing how hated he is by both sides at this point, right? I mean, Republicans, he got them into this mess, and, you know, you're absolutely right. And he basically admitted, oh, I just did this for my fundraising list. Like, you know, oh, I got a lot of dopes that gave me money for something I never could have accomplished in the first place, defunding Obamacare.
Yeah. Well, it's remarkable. This is a cabal which thinks that you can just rewrite the rules, that the system that has functioned or been somewhat dysfunctional over the past, 250 years, now we can just change everything because we don't like, you know, Obama. And so now we're going to do things that no one else has ever done before. And it's going to fail. I mean, the system, I think, is pretty well designed. And if you adhere to that system, you're going to be, you know, successful in some way. But the problem is that when you try to rewrite everything, you're going to look like an idiot. If you don't have the heft, if you don't have the public support, if you don't have that kind of visibility, which has been, like I said at the beginning, that's been the dividing line between the president and the members of the House GOP. They don't have the visibility to make it work. They can't sell it. It's impossible to sell it. So,
and yet there was Ted Cruz today on camera welcoming people back to the Capitol. What kind of moron shut this place down? Welcome back.
He should have made them all Rice Krispie treats or something.
I don't think
that would have even worked.
Yeah, here's Ted Cruz yesterday.
The way we are going to stop the suffering, the harms that are being visited on millions of Americans is the path we have seen these past couple of months, is the American people rising up.
Oh, and sending me money.
Yeah.
He's a grifter. That's what he is. I mean, it's the American people rose up and said, you're a moron. Stop it. And reopen the government, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, this has been very lucrative for him. I think I don't remember the actual number, but I think it was somewhere in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he's raised throughout the course of the shutdown. And so, you know, that's the one thing they're doing that's, believe it or not, kind of smart. They've actually begun to compartmentalize how they behave on the national stage, focusing on what the benefit will be in individual districts or individual states. They know that what may not play very well nationally might do very well for them in their heavily gerrymandered districts. So in that sense, you know, Ted Cruz may look like a buffoon today, but how does he look in Texas? How does
I don't know, the Houston Chronicle just revoked their endorsement of him. And, you know, when I was
Yeah, that's true.
And I was reading that, you know, a Princeton professor looked at these the PPP polling and said that, you know, these Tea Party seats might not be as safe as people are thinking. You know, I mean, so yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you look at the polling numbers, it's been pretty nigh on a disaster, I would say, for them.
Yeah, yeah, they've overplayed their hand. I mean, they had an opportunity to really take advantage of the fact that their districts are gerrymandered and they've got sort of epistemic closure voters and so forth. But they went too far. I think again, they misperceived the loudness and the volume of their message with actually being very, very popular, which it's not.
Yeah. I think those noodle backs, you have to put on their lace panties again.
Exactly. Bob Seska, great stuff as always. We will talk to you again real soon.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Bob.
Hey, AJ in Chicago still supports Ted Cruz. Hi, AJ.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I'm just calling in. I still support Ted Cruz. The reason I support Ted Cruz is I don't believe that the government represents me. I don't think the government represents you. I think government represents big business, big banks, and I do hope they burn the government to the ground and start all over, as you call them, abolitionist or arsonist or whatnot. I mean, the tax code, I think, has been changed, I think George Will said, 4,500 times in the past decade, all by rich people, all by corporations who can hire lawyers and special interests. This government doesn't represent me. And it hasn't represented people in the last 5 decades. So I don't understand why you guys support big government and big government policies.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
Oh,
AJ. AJ, I'm sorry. I am sorry.
Okay. Wow. So just abolish the government and everything will be fine.
Yeah, there he is. That's the remaining Ted Cruz fan in the country. There he is. 47 minutes after the hour.
It's time for androgyny.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Can I get up? What?
Ow!
52 minutes after the hour. It's the wax back guy. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number.
Better if you turn the mic on.
Okay.
All right. Oh, this is kind of sad. Look, do you get right-wing spam?
I do.
Urgent. Should GOP surrender to Obama's freeloaders?
What?
Your input to fence sitters in Congress is urgently needed. There's no time to waste unless they hear from you. The Obama Moochers Coalition wins big.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. If it wasn't urgent enough. Oh, well. right then. Paul in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Stephanie. I want to be the Stephanie Miller official Freemason.
Oh, hello.
Are you a Freemason?
I am a Freemason from Minnesota. I'm not going to tell you what lodge I belong to because then I would have to kill you.
Okay, thanks.
But here's Freemasons are non-political, and we welcome all political beliefs in our organization. In fact, we are rooted in very fundamental early American values of religious tolerance and political tolerance. So
that sounds dangerous.
It's a great organization. No, let me say one more thing about that. You know, people are really puzzling about, well, why is the Tea Party so powerful? And they're so powerful because they're loud and so forth. I know this point is brought up many times, but I want to reiterate it. It is the money. It is the money. The Koch brothers are financing these organizations.
Yep.
They don't care about the political, the votes and so forth. All they're worried about is the money. They're trying to protect their money. And they will have enough money next year in the off-year elections to make the closing of the World War II monument look like another VE Day.
Yeah, exactly. Randolph and Mortimer, the Dukes.
Yes.
It was the Dukes. Okay. All right. I'm done with that. I just cannot let go of that analogy. Oh, by the way, here's another fun fact.
What?
From Julie in Seattle. No naysayers and trolls. IRS verification of subsidized people's income is not a dent in the Affordable Care Act. The identical language is already in the Affordable Care Act. The new thing just repeats it. Got that, Skeeters? We put a dent in Obamacare. I'm repeating something that's already in it.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
You got nothing. Good day. All right. Greg in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Greg.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Okay. I'm just curious as to why nobody's talking about the horror stories that are actually coming across the board right now on the middle class rates going up on insurance almost 40%.
That's because they're mostly going down.
I'm not seeing my rates going down. I just saw...
Well, then it must not be true.
What's that?
I said it must not be true then.
No, it's not. And I think if you take a look at some of the web blogs, I mean, some families are going up.
Which web blog?
There's hundreds of them out there. Uh-huh. Just Google Obama horror, Obamacare horror stories. And
you know, any asshat with a computer can write a web blog and lie.
I would totally agree with you.
Right.
However, when there's smoke, there's fire. And if you read the provisions in the bill.
Well, if you have it out for Obama, you tend to lie.
No. Oh, is that how it works?
Well, a lot of times, yes.
And state after state, not blogs, I grant you, but, you know, places like, I don't know, the insurance commissions and
whatever
reporting that late rates are.
Insurance commissions? What would they know about insurance?
Yes, by record.
Especially in states that have embraced Obamacare and aren't fighting Obamacare.
Right.
Huh.
Okay. By the way, Dave Weigel tweeted, what the GOP should have figured out earlier, safely reelected Obama had no reason to cave and fully expected to break them. He also tweeted, most in the GOP have an utterly delusional low opinion of Barack Obama that leads them further and further down the path to ruin. Bye-bye. Enjoy. Okay, who wants to guess how many times a day Arnold Schwarzenegger has sex?
Oh, I know, because I sent you the story.
Well, you don't get to guess that.
Oh, well,
Jen?
Okay.
100 times, 1,000.
No, good guess.
A million times.
5.
I need to stop.
Reportedly, it's 5 times a day.
That's just
of this
the steroids
nature.
Talking. Oops, no, I shouldn't have said that.
I wonder if it's things of this nature or actual sex. I'm not really sure.
It's things of this nature. One time is actual sex. The other 4 times are just things of this nature. Whatever nature that is, I don't know what that is.
Friend Tom Arnold said he has several female companions to satisfy his daily desires, which help him stay in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He says Arnie has a tremendous sex drive. There are women who come over. He's not lonely. He has female companions. He does have a lot of needs and believes it's all part of fitness. 5
times
a day.
As soon as I take the injections, I take the 5 injections, and then I do it 5 times a day.
Wow.
The steroids and the HGH and all of this.
Right. Hey, everybody. Robin Thicke's wife talks about his big in Glamour magazine.
Oh, really?
Speaking of...
Did we?
You know what? Maybe there's some blurred lines and oversharing, things that we don't need to know.
Well, in the video, there are Mylar balloons that spell out the words, Robin Thicke has a big...
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
wow.
All right.
So that's why she answered the question.
All right. Okay. Listen. Blurred lines. Public, private, blurred lines. You know. Just saying. See what I did there? Hey! Hey, Katie Holmes is dating Jamie Foxx, reportedly.
What?
That's what I hear.
He was Tom Cruise's former best friend. I bet Tom thinks that's great.
It's great. It's fantastic. I love it. Jamie Foxx is a person of glib.
Yeah, right. All right. Big sexy liberal announcement tomorrow. John Fugelsang, much more. We will see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.